Hello and welcome to the Taskmaster podcast. That's what it is. That's what you've downloaded. I'm Ed Gamble. I'm the host of the Taskmaster podcast. What we do down here at the TMP, the TM pod, is we get a special guest on, normally someone who's been on the show, and we chat through a particular episode of Taskmaster, breaking it down, assessing it, going through the point scoring, talking about memories of the show, probably in far too clinical a detail. And this week's guest, very excited to say, will be chatting to Josh Widdicombe, the original champion of Taskmaster, because we'll be talking about an episode that he's in, Series 1, Episode 3. We've already done episodes on Series 1, Episode 1, and Series 1, Episode 2, so why not go back and listen to those if you haven't yet, and watch the episodes along with it. Is that the right term? Watch the episodes along with it? Probably not. That is not a sentence that anyone has ever said before. Just watch the episodes, then listen to the episodes. It's not a confusing thing, this, is it? But every week I seem to make it a very confusing concept. Just watch the thing and then listen to the thing. Sorry, I'm having a minor meltdown. I don't know how everyone else is coping with lockdown 3.0. That's where we are in time now. If you're listening to this in, you know, maybe in 2030 when COVID is a distant memory. One of the only few things that's bringing me any joy at the moment is getting to rewatch Taskmaster. It was filmed in a time where this didn't exist, and it was filmed in a time where we could all get close to each other and run around and be idiots. And that's what Taskmaster means to me. It's a true tonic. So I hope you can join us on that journey. We're now going to talk to Josh Widdicombe about Series 1, Episode 3. Here we go! Welcome, Josh Widdicombe, OG Taskmaster champ, to the Taskmaster podcast. How you doing, Josh?
I'm very good, thanks. Very excited to be here.
Are you very excited? Because the thought of having to watch back an episode, you agreed to the podcast. I then said, you've got to watch back an episode, and you didn't seem overly happy about it.
I don't like that kind of thing. I don't like looking at myself. I've got a terrible thing when I just vile kind of reaction when I win a task and try not to scream yes. A kind of awful smug little smile that deserves to be punched, but apart from that I enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, you say that you can see yourself when you win a task desperately trying not to shout yes and punch the air. I mean, you don't often stop yourself. I'd say throughout the series there's a Widdicombe fist clench that sticks in the memory.
Yeah, it's kind of like Tim Henman. Yeah, it's a weird thing, isn't it? Because I've got such an awful kind of competitive thing going on in my head. We've got very deep very quick. But I've always, like, when I did, I watched Pointless, because I did Pointless.
Yeah.
And I had a completely different body language to whenever I've watched myself on TV before, this kind of hugely kind of tense ball of like energy. And so I remember Taskmaster being really, really fun, but I didn't realize quite how awful I looked when I won a task. Yeah.
I think we're very similar in that whenever you see us do comedy, it's pretty laid back. But if there's any competitive element or quiz show element to it, we're completely different people, which would really suggest we don't care about comedy and what we're in the game for. We're there to win something.
Ed, imagine how good we'd be at comedy if we took it as seriously as we took Taskmaster.
Oh, God. Well, neither of us would be doing this podcast for a start. we'd be in America.
Exactly. The Big Apple. I'd see you there.
I actually don't think, Josh, that in the history of Taskmaster, you are one of the most competitive people. I actually think you're quite laid back in the scheme of things. Obviously, Series 1, pretty competitive, most competitive guy in the series, I'd say. But
no,
I think,
not the most competitive man.
Do you not think? Who are you thinking? Tim Key?
No. I'm not going to name the person, but I heard from the director that when I won the... So you're aware that I got an extra point because they did a trick on me, which was to make me count the tin of beans and the, and all the, and then they gave me the extra point. And apparently I won the series by 1 point, and I won't say who it was, but when the director was doing the edit, they announced me as the winner by 1 point, and they just heard the fucking beans point.
Now, I've got to say, I would be that person saying that, because the beans point, especially, it was only 6 episodes, you know, it's, you won by 1 point. Of course, you should, like, I said the same thing. Series 10, Richard Herring got given his own task. He got, like, 5 points for it.
Well, that's unfair. That's totally wrong. The reason I think I deserved the beans point...
Yeah.
...is... They
you
made
definitely
a decision.
Deserved the beans point.
I deserved
everyone,
the beans point.
Everyone deserved a chance at a beans point.
Well, no, but wait. This, I think I'm seeing this as an overall task, right? Is that it's more of a holistic task, right?
Yeah.
So, which was, they made a decision as to who would take the beans thing the best.
Right.
I.e. who was the most placid person. So in a way, the task was, who is the most placid person gets an extra point.
So are you saying the person who got angry about the beans point wouldn't have taken the beans task well if it was given to them?
It would be it would be impossible for me to comment.
Right. What are your memories of the show, Josh? Because obviously it was...
I loved it.
You know, 5 or 6 years ago now. Do you remember it being... How was it presented to you as an idea?
Oh, I probably got the email, actually. Let me just...
Oh, I'd love to hear the email. Everyone out there. This is exactly the sort of stuff that people who listen to this podcast like to hear.
Taskmaster for Josh Widdicombe. As discussed, I've attached a program treatment and a letter for Josh from Alex. So that was the only time I'd ever received a letter from someone making it.
Oh, wow. You know,
yeah. And so there's like a treatment, which is it's like you get when you get asked to do a TV show for people that, like, you just get like a description of the show with some pictures and some kind of idea.
Yeah.
And then the letter.
Normally they've cut your head out and put it on a dog or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And often there's an error that shows who was asked before. So actually, on a Taskmaster theme, I once got a treatment where I was referred to Greg as Greg throughout.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love it.
So, hello, Alex here. Hope you're well. And I haven't read this, so that I don't know whether it's... hope you're well and don't mind me sending over an extra note to try and convince you to be on my programme. Open brackets, Taskmaster, close brackets. Open brackets, I'm making a telly programme and I really want you to be in it, close brackets. So briefly, here's why I think you should do it. It's going to be fun. I'm only asking people who I think are really good and really nice. So far, two of the names are the only names attached. They'll only be doing things I've thought of, so won't be embarrassing or cringy. That didn't play out. You'd be very good at it. I think I know you pretty well, and this plays to your strengths. I'm a producer on this. I now speak like a producer. It's not a mock the week situation. Not that you're not good at that. It's going to be a warm sort of competition, fierce but supportive, etc., etc. Basically, it's going to be fun and funny. I can't stress that enough. So there you go. Do please give me a call if you've got any concerns. I'd love you to do it. So we'll keep trying to persuade you if there's any particular things that bother you. I could probably also buy you a pizza or something. Bye, Alex.
So who knew that Alex was so desperate in the early days?
Yeah, it's a real window into a man who's panicking.
The desperation that comes off that letter.
Yeah, it's... There's a lot of... I remember going for a drink with Alex in like Soho, and when I kind of agreed to do it, and it was him and Andy Devonshire, who's the director, and they were kind of telling me about it. And I think they'd done it in Edinburgh as a thing with like 15 comics, and I hadn't been asked to do that one. So it was a real promotion to make it into the five for the TV show. But yeah, I said yes almost instantly, I think. I don't think I ever doubted doing it.
I was going to say, I mean, by the time it got to series 9, Alex is not sending out letters.
No.
In fact, I had to send him a letter.
I sat with Alex. So did I tell you, I went to Ireland to do a gig and I bumped into Alex Horn in the airport And then we looked at our tickets and we were sat next to each other on the plane. This was about 2 years ago. It was really surreal. And then he sat there and he was like editing tasks, which I thought was a bit for show, but there we go. But he was discussing the booking then. And I got the feeling by that point, he very much held all the cards in the booking policy.
So have you never watched your series back at all?
I watched the first one because I had no idea. I felt like obviously everyone else knows what they're going into, but you're the first series. So it's a bit like the first series of Big Brother. Do you know how that had a kind of a slightly different energy because no one knew really what the show would look like or what the show. So you don't know what you're doing. So I watched it back for that reason. I don't know if I watched all of them, but I watched certainly the first one, and I don't think I've watched this one that we watched because I was too put off by the thought of the tattoo. And I found that watching that now really tough, actually, in a weird way.
Really? What was tough about watching it?
Because you've proposed, right, Ed?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know that awful feeling before you say something that is going to, like, is just a huge thing to say that's going to totally change the dynamic of the conversation and a relationship forever?
Yeah.
That's how I felt before I unveiled the tattoo.
Because of the impact that it was going to have on your relationship with Greg and the relationship with the program. And I suppose it's a big thing.
I just watched it, so I was 4th out of 5. And you can see there was a shot when someone else is, Tim's giving his book vouchers or something. And you can just see me in shot. And I've got that look of someone who's, you know, waiting for their A-level results or something. Like something like that. I'm just utter. Am I watching it now? My heart started pumping faster watching that. Because I remember the fear of thinking, have I hugely misjudged this?
What's the worst case scenario though? Because in a proposal, obviously the chance is that someone can say no if you propose to them, right? That's why you're nervous. What was the worst case scenario for Greg in that situation? What were you worried about?
Well, just that I think a bad case scenario would have been that it goes all right. Yeah, 2 points to Josh. Like, they just, it doesn't, like, or just that people are like, what the fuck have you done? That's a, like, hugely misjudged and inappropriate. It's only series one.
But that's the, we'll come to it because it's a little bit further on in the episode. But that is the genius of it. And that is, it's such a big play because it's episode 3 of a brand new TV show.
Well, I didn't know it was episode 3 as well. So bear in mind, I'd got it tattooed before we'd filmed any episodes.
Yeah.
I remember phoning your friend of mine, Matthew Crosby, when I was stood outside the tattoo parlour, just in like saying, is this the right thing to do?
But the only answer to that question is no. Let's just crack on with the prize task for episode 3, series 1 of Taskmaster, which is the most meaningful thing. Now, this was back in the day where the prize tasks were pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Now they've gone incredibly specific and weird.
They've run out of adjectives now, haven't they?
Alex has got just a well-thumbed dictionary full of tears. So let's talk about what people brought in. Frank brought in his son's hobby horse, a lovely... very meaningful emotion invested in it. And he showed that emotion as well, which is key. I think when you're presenting the prizes, you have to...
That was the mistake I made there.
Well, this is what I'm coming to. So Frank obviously said, this is meaningful to me. This is my son's. He loves it. And he tied it into his relationship with his father. You brought in a book that your dad had written and self-published called I Blame the Beatles, and you showed absolutely no emotion towards that book whatsoever.
I don't know why I did that. I think I played... I, I this sounds absurd, Ed, but I played it for laughs.
There's your mistake.
Huge mistake. Yeah, rewatching that, I was like, I've misrepresented the book completely, which is a really funny book of like sarcastic letters that he'd written to the local paper.
Yeah.
Where he pretends to be a kind of Countryside Alliance Tory, and he wrote these sarcastic letters. And
oh,
it's
amazing.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great. And I didn't say any of that. And I just thought, do you know what? I'm quite bad with, as maybe we said this with like the proposal, but I'm quite bad with showing emotion, like
yeah.
showing. So I think this task was really bad for me because I immediately went to some kind of default thing. I'm sure like my therapist would have a field day, Ed. No, but like I think like, so I just wasn't very honest about it, but it wasn't like a fucking wedding ring, was it? So...
No, but I can see the thought process though, because you've obviously brought that in because it does mean something to you. And then when someone said on television, "What does this mean to you and why is it meaningful?" you've immediately gone, "Just take the piss out of my dad." Just
yeah,
as
just sold
possible.
My dad down the river on TV for a laugh.
Roisin brought in a dictionary, which everyone everyone hated that, right?
Well, I didn't really, it's a kind of, and I think we come to this with the tea task, and I didn't really like what I did in that, that like, I'm never a fan of the reinterpretation of the question on Taskmaster. I'm a purist, Ed.
You're a purist.
I'm a purist.
There's two schools of thought. There's the Widdicombe purists, and there's the Osman loopholers.
Yeah, I'm not a loopholer, Ed. I tried to loophole on the tee, and I do you know what? It didn't suit. It didn't suit me.
You
I tried it, and it didn't
play
fit.
Play it with a straight bat.
Yeah.
You can tell, I mean, you know, you watch you do your comedy as well. I think that's the same thing. You come out, you've got an observation, you absolutely unpack it until it's empty, and then you move on.
Let's be honest. I know what you're saying. I'm not a creative thinker.
Not what I was saying, Josh. Just you play a solid straight down the middle game, and I respect that. And that's what won you both this series and Champion of Champions.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
So Roisin thought she was being pretty clever with that. I didn't think it was too bad actually, but I think people were a bit on her about that. I thought it was a bit mean. Ramesh, as you previously mentioned, brought in his wedding ring, which is huge. I mean, I think...
Well, he's got big fingers, mate, but that's a bit unfair.
Look like a belt. I think this series has particularly sort of big plays in it, like the tattoo and the wedding ring. I think that some of the stakes have lessened in the later series, and I wonder if it's because there's less expectation or appreciation that people will actually take the prizes home with them.
I think... Yeah, it's that thing I've said again as well. You don't know what the show is. So we're going in completely blind to what other people are doing. And all you're doing is getting hyped up by Alex and the two Andes.
Yeah.
To, you know, to well, if you want to do that, yeah, go ahead. Actually, to be fair, I should, for the record, say that at no point, and they legally had to tell me that they at no point had convinced or endorsed me to do the tattoo.
Tim Key finally brought in a piston from his Edinburgh show. Now, this is an interesting thing. I'd forgotten about this because last week we had him on the podcast. And the prize task in that episode was most impressive thing. And I said, why didn't he bring in his Edinburgh Comedy Award? Because in 2009, same year he ran the marathon, he brought in his marathon medal instead. And he said it wouldn't seem right to bring in something from another comedy show onto a different comedy show and be like, hey, I've won this. But that's exactly what he does this week. He goes, I won the Edinburgh Comedy Award in 2009 and I've brought a piston from the show. He could have just brought the award.
Yes, well, exactly. He could have. I actually thought, you know, Tim Key's an actor. He played it really like, I felt quite emotional watching that just now. Like, he did play it like it actually mattered to him, that piston.
Yeah.
Did you see that show?
I saw it the year after, once all the hype had died down.
Yeah. I don't buy this bullshit that he didn't have room for any of the other props, because there was loads of little props.
Yeah, there were. Yeah.
And he implied that he didn't live in a house or something. Like he was kind of homeless when he won the Edinburgh Award.
It's not, but he's a poet, isn't he? He knows how to sort of couch things in emotion and make you feel for him. But anyway, it wasn't a good choice of thing to bring in. I think he should have just brought the award in and just rubbed it in everyone's faces. I think that should have been bottom, actually. I think that should have been bottom in the prize tasks. But Roisin's was bottom with the dictionary. Greg didn't care for it either. And then you only got 2 points. And, you know, if you'd invested the actual emotion you had...
I think I could have gone above the piston. I don't think I could have competed with the hobby horse or the ring.
Yeah, I think the ring is such a big play that was always going to be 5 points.
Didn't he do his car as well? Another point.
Yes, I think that's later on in the series. I think he does the car. Yeah he really went all in with the prize.
We should be clear about that car. That was at a time when Ramesh couldn't afford a new car. Now I bet he's got them coming out of his fucking ears.
Now his wife's got about 8 wedding rings now. Doesn't matter. Chucks them out his window to passing kids on Halloween. I think you could have beaten the hobby horse if you'd shown how much emotion you had in that book.
Okay.
I reckon.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think I missold it. Yeah.
I can't stress this enough. It's too late now.
Fourth, I'm going to put Josh's dad's book in.
Oh, what? A gift from my dad, who I no longer speak to.
But you... I know for a fact it's not that way around. He won't speak to you because you didn't read... she didn't read his fucking book.
Task one. Throw a tea bag into a mug from the furthest distance. You have exactly 1 hour. Your time starts now. You made it very clear at the beginning of this task. You love tea. You love tea. You're looking forward to the task.
Oh, I love tea. Love it so much. I'm a 6-a-day man, but I reckon.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you think your love of tea... Were you excited about the tea task? You thought, my love of tea will help me throw a tea bag into a mug from a long distance.
I don't remember that being a key element of it. My main memory of it was that I think it was one of the first tasks I ever did.
Right.
I think it was probably the first day. Mm. And that's why I thought you had to do these kind of wacky things to get around it. So I think that's why I did that thing.
Yeah, so this isn't, you know, you've just said you're not an Osman loopholer. This is, you're trying to find a loophole here, and it doesn't pay off. Just to remind everyone, if you've not watched the episode back, Josh attempts to turn a wheelbarrow into a mug, to redefine a wheelbarrow as a mug, so he's got more of a surface area to throw the teabag into. Mm. Tapes the teabag to a golf ball, which was a great idea.
That's a good idea.
But the mug definition, it was never gonna work, mate.
Stupid. Idiot. Don't like... I actively disliked what I did when I watched it back. And I remembered, like, there's other tasks... Actually, no, that's not true. I remembered every task absolutely vividly. but, yeah, I remembered it and I thought, I don't agree with this. This is bringing the game into disrepute.
Yes, there's ways of doing loopholes and claiming that a wheelbarrow is a mug, I think, was never going to work.
Yeah.
So disqualified, unfortunately, Josh.
With good cause.
Yeah, I think so.
Deservedly.
Frank wets the teabag straight away and uses a box chute, which is impressive thinking. Roisin drops the teabags from the top of a stepladder. I mean, I enjoyed her thinking outside the box, but quite how she thought just standing on a ladder and dropping it in would be the biggest distance anyone managed is beyond me.
No, that's... But there is that element of just doing the task often means you don't finish bottom. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. But you don't know that at the time, right?
No, you don't. But particularly in the first series, but yeah. I suppose in your head you're thinking some people are just not going to achieve this.
Yeah.
I think Roisin's the least competitive everyone that did it. So I don't think there was any point where Roisin thought, I really want to beat Frank Skinner at throwing a teabag into a mug. How do I do that?
No, I completely agree. I can't imagine Roisin caring. I mean,
no,
she's very funny on the show and does amazing stuff. But no, she doesn't care about winning at all. Ramesh does care. And is terrible
deeply
in this task.
Yeah.
This is I think maybe the first bit of like classic Taskmaster editing where I'm like, that's what this show is, where they show Frank saying, you know, there's some people who are going to get 45 minutes into the task and they're going to realize they need to wet the tea bags, and it cuts to Ramesh after 45 minutes going, oh, maybe I should wet them.
yeah I mean, it's I think that's a really lovely thing they do on the show, isn't it? Is those kind of juxtaposition ones where they do two people together.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in the first series, I was surprised at how well realised the show was. Do you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not like... Sometimes you see the first series of something and it feels really different.
Yeah.
Even things like Would I Lie to You or stuff, you'd see the first series of that and it doesn't have the same feeling about it. But this does feel like Taskmaster. Yes. It looks like Taskmaster.
Definitely. I mean, even to the extent it was filmed somewhere different and then they recreated that place in a studio.
Yeah.
So it's had a consistency to it.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm glad, you know, we got the thrill of filming in a place that was so bad that they moved after one series. That was great.
Have you got fond memories of the Grand, Josh?
I have got fond memories. Was a really fond memory is doing the photo shoot on the last day. And not that the photo shoot wasn't a particularly fond memory. There was a particularly bad point in the photo shoot where we all went up in turn and got told to face... One of the photos was face 45 degrees with your legs open. Did Key tell you about this?
No.
No. So stand like 45 degrees with your legs open, right? Yeah. Like that. Everyone did that. And they were like, you know, just, we've got that, right? You know how they do in photo shoots.
Yeah, they've got that.
And then Key goes up last and they're like, can you stand 45 degrees with your legs open and look like you're falling backwards? And he was like, why? And they were like, oh, we're going to make it look like you're all riding on a horse and you're falling off the back.
What an absolute burn on Key.
Yeah.
Leave him to... He's obviously the one who's going to fall off the imaginary horse.
But I remember that was the morning of the final day. We did three nights of filming of it.
Yeah.
And the morning of the final day... we did that, and then they were like, do you want cars over to it? And it was like a mile, it was all this walk across Clapham Common. It's a lovely sunny day.
Yeah.
And the five of us, like, just walked across together, and just like, because we really got on really well.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like a really weird, but I just remember the five of us just spent like walking for an hour and a half together across London. And it was just this really pleasant kind of experience of like, oh, this has been such a great show to do.
Yeah.
And on any other show, everyone would be like, no, we'll all get our separate cars. Thank you very much.
Sort of had enough time together now, really. The professional engagement is over. Thank you. We need to mention Tim's teabag system because he's still really very, very proud of this. It came up in his episode last week. The plastic sheet, it sort of looked like a scene from Dexter. Plastic sheet, the ball thrower, which I don't think he needed, that was just for flair, and then the tea bags in a tennis ball, which is sort of the similar system to your golf ball, but better realised.
Yeah,
I think.
But better, yeah.
Yeah, and
I went golf ball because we were next to a golf course, so yes, I just said what I saw, really.
The true genius of Tim's, I think, is digging the hole and putting and basically setting up his own golf hole so it had nowhere else to go apart from straight into the mug. It's great.
It was brilliant. Like, there's so many good bits of it, and in a weird way that's what I imagined I was doing when I did that awful like my option in my head. That's what I was doing, but I was doing, like, you know when you see like a band that a really bad version of a really good band, that's who I was in that task.
I have to say, when I picture the others, I don't see them getting this kind of distance. Poets, girls.
Task 2. Using this device to track your route, create the best image for Taskmaster. You have 1 hour. Your time starts when you take your first step. Pop a balloon to signal that you have finished your image. Gotta say, Josh, you straight out the gate knew what you were doing, absolutely nailed it.
Very, very pleased with myself for this one. But this was one of those ones where I presumed that everyone would be... Like, I'm not being like... but like, Because they showed mine first as well.
Yeah.
Until you'd seen how bad the others were. I wouldn't say it was a good picture. It just was a picture.
Yeah,
I thought
you could work out what it was.
Great.
Romesh's was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really good. But I think just the fact you were so clear about what you were going to do, you realised quickly it was good to do something simple.
Yeah.
And also... Yeah. You know, you'd made fun of your dad's book earlier in the episode, but you did a bunch of flowers for this and you really showed your sensitive side, I thought.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I remember the way I did it. Okay, is this boring or is this people actually interested?
They'll absolutely love it.
Okay, cool. Because it was a football pitch. I just used... You know when you used to draw... Do you remember when you'd get like a magazine as a kid? Whatever, Postman Pat magazine, whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd have a picture, and then it would have a with behind a grid, and you'd use another grid to draw that picture.
Yes.
So I just used the football markings to draw the flower. Great. So I always knew where I was in terms of the football markings.
That's great.
So that was how I did it. But yeah,
there's some tasks where you open it, and then you just have such clarity of mind that, and it just sort of works out.
Yeah,
it was brilliant. Anyway, I mean, it did go wrong because people just started.
Key,
so the problem
brutal,
is,
didn't it?
Key started to trying to do a key, and it went terribly wrong. So he tried to cross it out.
Yeah, which, I mean, come on, mate.
Which is obviously not how the device works. So he just ended up with a sort of vague key looking thing with scribble all over it, and then he walked off in one direction, and he ended up walking 3 miles in total.
I think
he had a bit of a breakdown. It was raining really hard. He had a bit of a meltdown. And that happens now and again on Taskmaster, where you're like, I know this has gone badly. I'm just going to have a full meltdown and see how that comes across.
Yes. I think sometimes you've just got to own it, haven't you, that it's gone badly.
Totally. I mean, same with Roisin. She started doing a sausage. It turned into a pregnant woman. And then it ended up being tulips.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't that bad, hers. I thought it was better than Keys and Frank's.
Yeah. So Frank's, it didn't look like anything. And then when he was asked what it was in the studio, he said it was his son's hobby horse.
Yeah.
Which can't be true. It's just because that's at the forefront of his mind because that's his prize task, right?
And then some snivelling little person backs him up and says, yeah, it does look like a hobby horse. And I was watching this and I was like, I couldn't believe the words were coming out of my mouth. What pathetic. Why am I backing him up on that?
Oh, Frank, it does look like a hobby horse, actually. Please come to Cologne with me. I think Romesh was really unlucky to not get 5 points as well. So you got the 5 points, Josh. Romesh got 4. 3 for Key's crossed out key. 2 for Frank's hobby horse. And 1 for Roisin's bunch of tulips. You know, I think especially in this series, Greg does a lot of marking based on what reaction he wants the person to have. So he enjoys having fun with Roisin because they were friends beforehand. And obviously to get that reaction from Romesh, he's just horrible to Romesh.
Yeah, I actually think Romesh probably, if he'd just been a bit more charming, he would have won the series.
But later on in this episode, he does try to be more charming. And as it always is when Romesh tries to be charming and nice, it's creepy as hell.
Yeah. I think really Romesh's inability to be charming is what's held him back over the following 5 years.
I've got tulips and the Angel of the North and...
Yours looks like a dock in a golf bag.
Just to make it absolutely clear, if you'd have told me that was a drawing of a duck in a golf bag, you'd be right at the top of the pile now.
Task 3, here we go. Buy the Taskmaster a gift with £20. You have 10 weeks. Now, this obviously started a tradition of the Taskmaster gift task, which has now stopped, annoyingly, because I totally would have loved to have done that. It wasn't in our series.
Did you have an idea?
Well, the thing is, I've got tattoos, Josh. And I love getting tattoos. I fantasize about a scenario where I am presented with the opportunity to one-up your tattoo and get a massive portrait of Greg somewhere.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I would absolutely do it, but it wouldn't have as much impact as yours because you are not a tattooed person apart from that. So it was a real surprise to see that you got that done.
Do you know what, Ed? It was the first and last time I've been inked.
You surprise me with access to lingo like inked.
Well, exactly, yeah. Do you know what? I have considered getting more ink.
Yeah.
Is that how it works as a phrase?
Yeah. Which other television hosts' names would you get inked on you next?
I'd have Anton Deck and my niece.
Yeah. I want to know more about the thought process behind the tattoo when you decided to do it. Obviously, you said before you were thinking, is this mad? Is this the right idea? You had £20, which, you know, there's probably tattooed people listening. £20 is not a lot to pay for a tattoo.
No.
Where did you go?
It was in Shoreditch.
Right.
It was just off... what's the place with the bagel shops called? Brick Lane,
yeah.
Just off Brick Lane. I must have TripAdvisored it. I don't think I went in completely blind. I think I might have. So I imagined it in my head smaller.
Right. By the way, that always happens with tattoos.
Yeah. Well, when I got in there, they said the size it is now, but the size it always has been, is the smallest it can go without it turning into a blue blob.
Yeah. Yeah, because if things are too sort of small and detailed or fine, eventually they'll blob out.
In my head, it was the size of the writing on a debit card.
Right, okay, yeah. There's no way that would have been possible unless you have the letters spaced really far out.
Yeah.
I think it's a good size.
The experience, and I love having the tattoo. My daughter has noticed it now. She's 3.
Yeah.
And she said to me the other day... have you got your name written on your foot? Because she's quite into like letters now.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I haven't got my name written on my foot. So she now thinks I've got my own name written on my foot.
Well, that's gonna go around nursery like wildfire, isn't it? My daddy's got his own name written on his foot. You didn't correct her. You didn't. I suppose it's a difficult thing to explain to a child.
Yeah, isn't it? She's not aware of either Channel 4 or Dave. which makes my career much less impressive to her, but yeah. I just thought it was easier just to leave it. I think you probably got to be 6 or 7 to understand really what's happened there.
How did you pitch it in the tattoo studio? So you go in, did you put a crisp 20 down on the counter and say, what can I get for this?
I think it might have been a mistake. I read Alex's letter to ask me to go on the show in full.
Obviously, it's the best one in this. You brought the best thing in, but we should talk about the others. Tim, because I feel for everyone else, as soon as you got your foot out, I can imagine me being one of the other people sat there going, oh, for fuck's sake. He's absolutely done us here.
It was odd that I didn't go last, wasn't it? I went 4th.
But it's funny that you didn't go last because there's that moment where Greg looks in the mouse cage that Roisin's brought him and goes, oh dear. And you look genuinely heartbroken.
So, I don't know, is this too much behind the scenes? But would Greg have known that I had the tattoo? I don't think he would.
No, I don't think so. And I think his reaction is utterly genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a very good actor, Ed.
That's
it was weird. It was a really weird experience to do it. It was going all in. But once again, you don't really know what you're up against.
No, that's true.
The book tokens did worry me.
What, when they were... So Key had brought in book tokens.
When the book tokens came out first, I thought, oh, I've had an absolute shocker.
What have I done? I love that feeling you spoke about, that you thought everyone was going to turn around and go, why the fuck have you done this? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like a nightmare where suddenly you've changed the tone to such an extent, everyone's like, oh God, I think we're going to have to stop filming, guys. I feel sick. Josh has made me feel sick.
Yeah. It's one of those things now where, you know, like you were asking me what it was like getting the tattoo and stuff. I don't really remember life before it if you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure. Well, you're just a tattooed guy now, you know.
I'm just, you know, exactly, exactly.
You're just inked up. Exactly. Again, Romesh brought a commissioned portrait of Greg with duck feet. So bizarre, yeah. So weird.
Odd, really odd.
Really odd that he's taken that to an artist and then gone, go on, yeah, put duck feet on him.
Yeah.
What's that decision?
But he is an artist that would pay to do a drawing for 20 quid.
Yeah, that's true. But then you went to a tattoo artist who would do a tattoo for 20 yeah. quid permanently yes, on your true. Body.
True, yeah.
Frank, see behind me sunglasses, which, I mean, I know there's lots of jokes about Frank being of, you know, of an older vintage than everyone else, but see behind me sunglasses is exactly what your granddad would buy you and think it's a cool dude present.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's really... It's really weak.
It's a proper stocking filler, isn't it? It's a proper granddad stocking filler.
I've not really thought about this. Oh, no, yeah. It's the day before the record.
Yeah. And Roisin brought a mouse and three scratch cards. Now, we know the tattoo is still around. I've not heard anything about that mouse, and I've been to Greg's flat a lot since then.
Yes. Well, there you go. I don't even know. I don't even remember what happened to the mouse. Like, I don't remember seeing it with Greg's belongings in the green room afterwards or anything.
Yeah, oh dear.
I mean, it could easily have just been let loose in Clapham Grand and it would have fitted in perfectly with the ambience.
Look, I've got my own mouse.
He's also called Greg.
So I've got a tattoo of his name.
Task four. It's a rare four task episode. Using only the items on this table, get the egg as high as possible. Highest wins. The egg must not break. You have 20 minutes. Your time starts now. I mean, it's a classic egg task. It's another egg.
It's a bit Taskmaster 101, isn't it? Like, it's very much first series of Taskmaster, just don't break an egg.
Yeah, just... The main task is don't break an egg. This is one of my favourite Roisin Conaty task performances. Right. She comes up with the idea to throw it in the air because she works out that you can just take the measurement from when the egg is at its highest. It doesn't need to stay there. Chucks it in the air and immediately drops it. It really
unbelievable.
Is.
Unbelievable. It really is great.
I'd forgotten about that. And watching this back, I proper screamed laughing. It's yeah, so. It's so just the perfect, perfect little play. Tim thinks ahead and boils his.
Yeah. I mean, you're not allowed to do that, right?
Well,
but it breaks anyway.
Yeah, so it's
how long do we have? 20 minutes?
It's complete nonsense. Yeah, 20 minutes. He boiled it, but he must have only boiled it for a minute and a half because it's still, like, really runny inside. He
yeah.
used equipment that wasn't on the table, as Frank rightly points out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was... I'd say this is the lowest level of quality of performance across a task of the whole series.
It's very hard though because I don't know what all the equipment was, but there wasn't any tape on there. Because my first thought was if there was some tape, maybe tape it to the ceiling or something.
What was weird about it is I know this is almost obviously presumably what was meant to happen, but like is all of the equipment was so useless, which was presumably the point, right?
Yeah.
But like that you thought you spent the whole task presuming you'd missed what it was about.
Yeah.
Like, when you're watching the other people, you're like, oh, right, they're going to do something that's like this classic thing you're meant to do with these items.
Yeah. Or there's like a massive loophole, or there's something written somewhere else which says, you know,
yeah.
if you do this, then, yeah. It's a really tricky one. But I think you and Frank were the ones who went about it in the right way by using the paper to shield the egg.
I did it really badly.
You did it in a really weird way, but yours paid off.
Well, it didn't even land in the paper. Like, yeah. It just happened that I was on the grass.
Yeah. You spent so long making that little bed for the egg, and then completely missed it.
Completely missed it? Why would that bed be any better than me doing a kind of cushioned catch? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like, it wouldn't be at all.
And also, then there's this mad moment where I throw it again.
Oh, that is, you completely lost your mind. Why have another go at it?
Why have I done that?
But you were lucky because Frank managed to wrap his in paper two or three times, threw it in the air, and then it still broke.
Yeah. I thought Frank's was the best. Of all the people that did the task, I thought Frank approached it in the best way.
Definitely. It just didn't work out for him, which meant he ended up with 0 points, as did Roisin, obviously. Ramesh did an okay job. He not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. I think... But once again, if you're getting 4 points for that, everyone done badly, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's another one of those, isn't it? If you can get through it without breaking the egg, then at least you're on the scoreboard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Tim Key, 0 points again, because he only parboiled the egg.
I'm sure you're all thinking the same thing as me. I'm amazed I give a shit, but it genuinely is quite tense, isn't it?
Studio tasks. Stand up after 100 seconds. Absolutely, yeah. the most simple studio task has ever been, I think.
How are you putting that on TV?
But it works, Josh.
It works.
It totally works.
I bet that wasn't in the snivelling little pitch document that Alex wrote to Dave pleading for a TV show.
Yeah, I noticed he didn't put that in his letter to you, going, it's going to be fun. You might have to stand up after 100 seconds. doesn't work on paper, does it?
No.
Now, you and Ramesh, you both stood up around the same time. Do you think that's because you're both gigging a lot on the circuit? I think you develop timekeeping skills. I had it in my series. I had to blow up balloons for 10 minutes, or blow up balloons and then pop them all within 10 minutes, but with no timekeeping. I think I did it to like 8.5, 9 minutes. I think you just learn how to.
Also, you were doing your set while you did it, which I thought was quite helpful. It's a time keep.
Well, I know you
pausing for laughs as well.
You and Ramesh were doing a lot of 100-second open spots at the time.
We were. Yeah. This me doing 105 seconds is actually the only time in the history of comedy where I've overrun.
Anyone who saw Josh's 37-minute debut Edinburgh show will attest to that. it was a tie break. You were both on 22 points at the end of that episode, and the tie break was, again, we're having a go at Frank here. What is Frank Skinner's age in minutes? You guessed 200,000, Ramesh guessed 150,000, and the answer was actually it's about 3.5 million.
Yeah, but I guessed 200,000 because he'd already gone 150,000.
Yeah.
And so it's that thing where you just go a little bit higher. But I worked out quite quickly. Like, he's a maths teacher, Ed.
Yeah.
he really was.
he really should have got that.
But 150,000 is very, very low.
It's a terrible guess. That's a really bad guess.
Yeah, it's a terrible guess.
From Ramesh. So it means you take the episode. Deservedly, I think, took the episode because...
comeback after the terrible opening two tasks.
Yeah, totally. Well, you got... And then, you got 4 5-pointers in a row.
Look at that.
So you absolutely deserve to win that episode, in my opinion.
Thank you.
And went on to win the series, which you were very happy about.
I loved winning the series. I'm the only person who got a different trophy, because on the day... they realised that they didn't have a trophy. So they just had to go. This is a proper TV show. Just won a BAFTA. They had to just go to a local trophy place. And it's like a trophy with a golfer on it.
You know what? That had completely escaped my memory that you didn't get a proper trophy for it.
I can see yours in the background as we record this.
Yeah.
I didn't get one of them.
Pretty jealous,
right? I got a golf trophy.
But then in Champion of Champions, you got a full body one, right?
I got the full body, which they said, do you want it delivered?
Yeah.
And I said, could you deliver it to my agents? And now if you go to... And they're quite a kind of agent where a lot of big comedians will go to their office, right? Yeah. So there's like... And they've got the thing in the corner of their kitchen area is the big 6'6".
That's really cool.
Body without a head, yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool as well, because he is not represented by your agency.
No, he's represented by a rival agency. And so they're slightly worried that the trophy has been bugged.
Well, I was just thinking, because he's represented by a rival agency, having the headless the headless appearance of his corpse in the corner of the kitchen might seem like a more aggressive statement than it was intended. We did have an email about that from Louise. She said, can I ask Josh if you got to keep the massive statue from Champion of Champions? And what did
so
it
I
do
could have
it?
Kept it, but
yeah,
I
you could have kept
have
it.
Wanted
yeah.
it. Yeah.
We've got a couple more emails, Josh, if you don't mind answering a couple of these. Hello, Josh. My question is that when you were asked to come back, were you excited to be back and compete, or highly cautious from George Price?
I was a bit cautious, actually. Because I'd really enjoyed it, and you know you don't want to do something again and then it not be as fun.
Yeah.
But I'd had such fun. I really enjoyed the days of recording. There was no way I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
But I just thought, I've got away with this. I haven't made a prat of myself. I did the Champion of Champions really soon. Like, it was the week after my daughter was born.
Oh, wow.
So I was absolutely exhausted. And also, everyone else did it on 2 days. But they managed to put all the tasks in one for two episodes in 1 day. So it was like this really intense day. So it was a bit of a kind of blur. It's quite nice to get out of the house, but it was a bit of a blur because it was then. Beckett did it, his first series. He did his Taskmaster. He did it like 3 days after his daughter had been born.
Oh, wow.
That's
why he's so manic for the whole thing.
Yeah.
that's just his personality, right? Yeah. this is from Spencer. I had a question for Josh. Has Josh ever been inclined to find out the number of peas in a tin of garden peas? Many thanks.
No, I haven't, no. I still think I undertook that task well. You know they did a second trick on me?
Yes, in Champion of Champions, you had to sing the theme tune, right?
Sing the theme tune. Yeah.
You took it very well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's bullying.
It is bullying.
I sucked up to the bullies. That's what I did. I'm a classic victim.
It is very interesting, because I hadn't realised that until you said it earlier, that they have picked the most sort of placid people to bully in that way, because they did it to Mark Watson as well in series five. And he was definitely the most placid, and he just looked sort of broken by it.
I think you were watching The Island.
Oh, yeah, that was it, yeah. Bear Grylls was in that series as well, I think.
I mean this. Does Alex listen to this? I'm sure he does. He's obsessed with his own oeuvre. But I dare you, Alex, to, you know, book someone who scares you and play a prank on them.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see.
If you ever book Sean Locke, Alex, I dare you. I absolutely dare you.
Oh, this is full nerd. I hope you're ready for this, Josh. Hi guys, I think it was Rose Matafeo who suggested the Taskmaster animal was a duck when she was on the podcast during Series 10. It reminded me of a bugbear going back to Josh's time on Taskmaster. I never thought there would be a time to address it, but now you're going over old shows, it's perfect. During the prize task, he offered us a magic eye photo of the Taskmaster, but if you can actually see magic eye pictures, the picture is of a rubber duck in profile. Does this back up the claim that the duck is the program's animal? Was this Josh being naughty, or did the production provide him with his lying poster?
Of course it's the third one.
Yeah.
Come on.
Greg apparently said, I'll take it at your word that it's a picture of me, and we'll have words later if it isn't, and gave him 4 points. 4 fraudulent points that led to Josh winning the series and going on to the Champions Series. I think Josh needs to address this when you get him on. Keep up the good work, Chris in Suffolk.
I would say that it's not my point, not my fault, if Alex Horner's lied to me.
Yeah. So what's happened is you've said, I want to bring in a magic eye picture of the Taskmaster. I want to have that made.
Yeah.
And they've brought in one with a duck on it.
Presumably, I can't do magic eyes. So we're taking this guy at his word.
That's true. he might be lying.
I can't do magic eyes. So I had no idea I was being lied to. I only vaguely remember this happening. I'm not denying it did, but I would presume they provided it, because I don't know where I'd have got a magic eye in 2015.
Yeah. Well, 2015, I think magic eyes predate 2015, right?
Oh, no, but I mean, they weren't really I wouldn't. They weren't kicking. No, I know they pre. I mean,
I thought you meant they were still around in 2016.
I think it was just after Brexit, wasn't it? The Magic Eyes.
We'll do one more. Hi Ed. Hi Josh. First, I want to thank Josh. First, I want to thank Josh for letting Devon be known for something outside of clotted cream and a sheep-based theme park.
Yes.
For the actual question, I would like to know what it feels like knowing you only definitively won and avoided a three-way tiebreaker by figuring out how many grains of rice there was in a bag. Thanks for making lockdowns a bit more tolerable, Tom. So Tom's given with one hand and taken away with the other. There.
Yeah.
He's thanked you for all your hard work for the area of Devon. And then he said...
The area of Devon, the county of Devon.
It's a broad area. and then he's basically got on to say, how can you sleep at night?
Yeah, fine. But it is an interesting question, actually.
Yeah.
Because when you're rewatching the tasks today, and you know you've won the series by 1 point, and I won Champion of Champions by 1 point.
Yeah.
And you think, geez, all of these are so spurious and they could have gone any way.
Yeah.
I was like, if that egg had cracked, I'd have come third.
Yeah. It's really, especially in those early series where there's only six episodes.
Yeah.
It's obviously going to be that close. It's going to come down to 1 point here and there. I think once it gets on to my series, I think I won by 7 or 8 points, but it's such a long process that people have earned where they are, and you've gone through a whole journey with them in a roller coaster, and it's sort of the league table sits where it sits because you know people have got to it through loads of tasks.
I think also, like, I know you're not into sport, but like, you people will do this with football a lot. They'll get to the end of a season and they'll be like, Liverpool lost the league to Man City by 1 point and 2 years ago, and people are like, oh, if only that one shot hadn't hit the post.
Yeah.
But there's 400 variables.
Yeah,
do you know
course.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry, I've started talking seriously about it like it's a sport. But that is like...
Josh, that's what this whole podcast is predicated
on. Sorry. But yeah, it does, like... I did start thinking about that egg thing. And I was like, oh God, I wouldn't have won. And then, you know, they wouldn't have been able to bug my agent's office with that big body or whatever. But like, I didn't... Like... That's kind of where madness lies,
yeah,
isn't it?
Totally.
Trying to kind of...
No, I think, I think the only claim is that it was the beans point.
But as I've said, that is a bonus point for being the placid personality that I am.
Exactly. Josh, thank you so much for bringing your placid personality onto the Taskmaster podcast. We always ask our guests to rate their experience on the podcast 1 to 5 points. Could you do that now for me, please?
5.
Thank you very much.
I've very much enjoyed it.
It's been lovely, hasn't it, Andy?
Can I say one more thing about a letter that Alex sent me?
Please.
So when I did the Champion of Champions, and my daughter had just been born, they'd put a task letter in my dressing room for my daughter. And I was very tired, but I opened it up and it said, it was done as a task, and it said, "Dear Pearl, have the best life ever. Your time starts now." And I started to cry, and it was like it was so nice. And we've got it framed on her nursery wall.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. So, you know, to balance out that, so we've got a letter at each stage of the, at one end and the other of the interview. But I even think about that now makes me a bit emotional.
Oh, it's really lovely. And then hopefully when Pearl grows up, she can take that letter onto a comedy panel show and show absolutely no emotion about it whatsoever.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you very much, Josh.
Cheers, mate.
There we go. Thank you, Josh. What a wonderful episode that was. Quite emotional at the end there, I thought. It's so nice. I think Taskmaster means a lot to the people who are on it. It's fond memories to a lot of people, which is lovely. I'm sure the fondest memory involved in that story was Josh having his child. I think Taskmaster had a texture to it, although I just like to say I'm so committed to the show that within my memories, if I were to have a child, Taskmaster would still trump that. Why not join us next week? We'll be talking to another brilliant special guest. Do get your questions in taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com for our special guest next week. I will announce who that is on Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, like the podcast, rate the podcast, do all of that sort of thing. Tell your friends about the podcast. If you have friends who are into Taskmaster and they've never heard the podcast, tell them to get on it. It's a good excuse to go back and watch the entire series again. Go do it. And I know there's people getting into Taskmaster all of the time, especially during this lockdown, because, you know, there's so many episodes to watch. You can go back, you can go on multiple journeys with multiple casts, and it's a very exciting thing to discover. Tell them about the podcast as well, because it's a wonderful companion in these times. So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again next week. Goodbye!